Today is the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran, and this is the Gospel. It's from St. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area, with the sheep and the oxen, and he spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scriptures and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. We Americans have our own measuring rod for very large places and things, especially if we're sports enthusiasts. For example, we say that if you were to take the Empire State Building and rest it on its side, it would measure over 4 football fields. And the deck of the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan is over 3 football fields in length. I have to confess to carrying that mental measuring rod with me as I stood in the back of St. John Lateran in Rome a long time ago. I looked at its high ceilings and its length, and I thought, this church is massive. I wonder how many football fields it is in length. It's not only long, it's beautiful, with great works of art, stained glass windows, gilded altars, statues, mosaics, wonderful marble. It was finished in all its present grand scale and Baroque beauty in 1735. But the original church dates all the way back to 324. It's the Cathedral Church of Rome, and since the Pope is also the Bishop of Rome, it's his parish church. What a work of art it is, inside and out, and it draws countless tourists. I wonder how many American tourists probably think the same thing I thought. How many football fields would fit in this church? But we can say similar things about museums around the world that have wonderful paintings and sculpture. Are we celebrating today a beautiful building, a great work of art, a monument? St. John Lateran is a symbol of the great work that God has done, the great work of art, in making the holy people of God, in creating the church. The people who can trace our origins even further back than 324, all the way back to our temple, Jesus Christ. All 4 Gospels have the story of Jesus entering and cleansing the beautiful temple, the one in Jerusalem, which we're told today by his opponents in the Gospel took 46 years to build. It must have been massive. It must have been a thing of beauty to see for Jesus' contemporaries. Some people are uncomfortable with Jesus' emotional outburst in the temple area. Some people deduced that the Jewish religious practices had become crass and profit-seeking, and so Jesus was responding to those merchants because of that. We all need to be a bit careful about getting on too high of a horse. We might want to reflect on the chances that are sold in vestibule lobbies of the churches we've been to, or the bus tickets to Las Vegas that are sold on church steps. Anyway, the people doing business in the temple weren't in the temple, because John tells us they were in the temple area. It wasn't the exchange of currency that raised Jesus' ire. People coming to worship at the temple came from afar, and they carried Roman coins with them. On the Roman coins were imprinted Roman gods, pagan gods. And it was forbidden in the Jewish faith to take those pagan images into the temple. And so they were exchanged with the money changers before they went in. Also, devout people came long distances, especially at the holy seasons, to worship and offer sacrifice in the temple. And they needed to purchase animals. And so there were those merchants who sold the animals to the devout. So money changers, people who sold animals, were necessary for temple worship. So what was Jesus acting so furiously about? What made him so passionate? Well, it's possible, because there was a business going on, money changers, animal sellers, perhaps because of the business instinct, there were excessive profits being made on the devout religious pilgrims. I noticed, too, that Jesus addresses in particular those selling doves. He says, take those out of here. Doves were the offering of poor people. You remember Joseph and Mary brought doves to the temple after Jesus' birth. I wonder if those merchants of doves were cheating the poor. Now that would infuriate Jesus. Or by overturning the tables of these merchants, Jesus may have been suggesting that in him, all would have equal access to God. There'd be no distinctions between the devout rich and showy expensive animal offerings and the poor with their seeming insignificant offerings, their doves. What counts before God is the gift of ourselves, not any animals. It will take the disciples a while after the resurrection to understand something else about what was happening that day, that Jesus was acting like one of the ancient prophets. By his actions and his words, he's calling his contemporaries to see what God is doing in him. God is building a whole new place of worship, a new meeting place between us and God, a new temple, and it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus is announcing that the time of fulfillment, that new temple, has come. He's claiming that he has authority, too, for his actions from God. He refers to my Father's house. The temple and any beautiful church or chapel are meant to draw us to God, not to the building themselves, no matter how grand the building is or even simple it is. The Gospel tells us, St. John tells us, that Jesus entered the temple at Passover time. It's a time of offering and sacrifice, suggesting that Jesus is offering himself, especially in his passion, death, and resurrection, as a new sign of God's presence and union with us. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. In Jesus, we have a holy meeting place. He is our sanctuary. He is our altar. And at that altar, we bring our offerings. On that altar of Jesus Christ, we place our daily lives, the big and the little things we do in Jesus' name. And they are made holy and most acceptable to our loving God in the new temple. Reminds me of a prayer card an aunt of mine used to have taped on her bathroom mirror, the morning offering, which I presume she prayed first thing in the morning as she brushed her teeth or combed her hair. A line of which, as I remember it, went, O God, I offer you today all my prayers, actions, thoughts, and suffering in union with your Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we can remember today on the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran, that through Jesus we have a holy exchange of gifts with God, the gift of Jesus to us, and the offering of our lives to God. We offer God today, not as perfect Christians, but as a people who continually return to Jesus, our temple, asking for forgiveness in our failures to serve him and his gospel. And today we ask to be made holy, disciples of Christ, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that comes to us in the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ.